Well, good morning from Roswell, New Mexico, and it's now the 13th day of December 1980, so soon. I want to thank you so very much for sending the material about Athabasca that you did. I thought that was very, very kind on your part, and they explained just a moment now, excuse me, why I'm sending this tape rather than writing or typing a letter. The last few years here I have been, shall we say, inconvenienced by MS, and it makes it very difficult for me to write or to type. It comes out pretty poorly, so I've kind of adopted this way of corresponding now. It makes it much more, shall we say, easy. I don't say it's better, I just say it's easier. So I certainly enjoyed all the material you sent from Athabasca. It's kind of coincidental that the hospital burned again. And another coincidence was that when your letter came in with that very, very good material that you sent, that a native of Athabasca was here on a visit from Halifax. It was kind of she is Sarah Gervais. She was in Athabasca when the first hospital burned, and my father taken her out of the hospital in. She was just a wee tot there. Her mother died short time previously, and she was just staying at the hospital and under more or less the care of the sisters at the hospital at that time. And she more or less kind of, she and my father kind of had a bit of rapport going, or whatever you want to call it. And she was just a toddler, as I say, then. And when the hospital burned, he just wrapped her in a blanket and took her from the hospital. And they went, my mother and father, and they had lost everything there. And they had, when they left Athabasca, they had a going away party, I guess, for them. And they had a presentation of a purse of gold coins. And in to Nova Scotia, they stopped off in Chicago for a day or so, and they were standing in line somewhere, and very happy with this purse that they had there, but a pickpocket robbed them there, and they were stranded in Chicago. I think it was around time, about the first part of July in 1915, and it was kind of an awkward time to get money wired up from Nova Scotia. But anyway, they had a kind of a misfortune in Chicago. But anyway, they got down to Nova Scotia, all right. And this little girl was with them. Her name was Sadie Marcella Gervais. And her father was not in a position to look after her at that time. But just as an illustration of how things have changed religion-wise, mother and father wanted to adopt her, and it was not allowed because of her being Roman Catholic, and they were not. But anyway, she was allowed to go with them down to Nova Scotia, and then Dad got involved with the Halifax explosion. They were there. He was called in there to work at the time of the explosion, and stayed in Halifax for a short time after then, and then took on a position down in the very back country of Cape Breton to work with a pulp and paper company down there. And of course there was no Catholic church down in that area, so the powers that be decided that this could not be, and that she would have to be returned to Halifax, and went to an orphanage, which happened, and she stayed there until she grew up and finished her training, and married in Halifax. She's now been a widow for several years now, but I've always looked upon her as my sister, and we've kind of kept in touch over the years. She wasn't even allowed to come and visit us in Cape Breton in those days. That was back in the early 20s, and but now I guess she's a few years older than I am, and she was just up here for a visit from Halifax, and we had a very, very enjoyable time. She has just a very faint recollection of Athabasca, because she was only, a little toddler then. And I thought it was kind of coincidental that the news of the new hospital burning and her being here for a visit all kind of coincided with my inquiry. It's kind of peculiar how these things cross in the night, or the cross in the night sort of thing, and come together. I've been retired down here for, since the first part of 1970. We came down here in January 1970, and liked the place so well. It was such enjoyable weather mostly, but when our visitor from Halifax was here, we had a real rotten streak of weather. But after all my build-up over the years saying how nice it was, but anyway, that's passed over, and we're back onto old kind of normal weather for December. It's in the 70s with a bright sunshine and very dry climate. And all these years I've been here, I've enjoyed it very, very much. And it's amazing when you get into retirement that you can get so busy and wonder how you ever had time to work after a while, because we've had a wonderful time here in Roswell. It was the center of a big Air Force base, Walker Air Force Base, that closed in the late 60s, and very suddenly, and kind of disrupted the town. We came into the town, it was more or less like a ghost town, the Walker Air Force Base. I think they had about 15,000 people involved in that, and to take it out of a relatively small city was quite a traumatic event. And we came here, there were street after street of beautiful houses that were vacant, and you could pretty well take your pick of any house that you wanted, sort of thing. And so anyway, we did this and settled down here, and people are so lovely and friendly here. So we just settled right in here and got involved in all the things you wanted to do all your lifetime. You kind of put off till retirement, but down here we had all kinds of old facilities to just kind of let ourselves go and do what we had wanted to do. I know my wife Jean, how she got involved with going to arts and painting and sculpture and all that sort of thing, and then got involved with going teaching. She was working in the school system teaching remedial reading, and found that she had a real good talent for sculpture, and turned out a lot of beautiful pieces, and really enjoyed it. And we had later on we got a yen for, we had a chance to buy a little motel. We went out to a little town not far from here, about 80 miles from here, and had a motel there for about 3 years, but then it became physically impossible to continue there, so we returned back to Roswell a year ago last July, back into this little house up on the corner. And I've been inconvenienced by this MS for the past several years, and operate from a wheelchair, but it's not that terrible. When you kind of look around, you kind of resolve people off, a lot of us off in New York, and it's not a question of what you can't do, it's a question of what you can do, and there's a lot of things in that area. Had 30 years in the Canadian Army and retired from there, and while in the Army in Canada, I did a lot of traveling. I was all stationed and moved about every two or three years, and I enjoyed every place we went to, because it's just the beauty and variety of places in Canada that you can really enjoy. We had our last posting was in London, Ontario, and then before that we're up in the up in Whitehorse at Yukon. They changed over from the Army jurisdiction to the Department of Public Works and came out of there in 1964. And Yukon is a really beautiful country up there. We drove up through there, and when we came out to out to Alaska on that narrow gauge railway, and took a boat passage or a ship passage down to Vancouver, and then went by the train through the Rockies on the Canadian Pacific to Regina, and then from Regina we went down to London by air and stayed there until I left on retirement leave in 69. I did quite an extensive trip over to Europe and down and through, spent quite a bit of time in the Balearic Islands, and then came back and visited our daughter in Utah for a short trip, and came on down through here and more or less discovered Roswell, and kind of lost our hearts to it, and dropped anchor and stayed here ever since, and I've really enjoyed it. I got involved in, I took a bunch of testing when I got through the Army, and it came out, I didn't expect it to come out anywhere the way it did. I was, Master Warrant Officer when I retired, and of course that job calls for you to be I'm going to say nasty, but that's not quite the word, a little bit cranky, so modified to that. But anyway, I took these tests, and it turned out that I should get into social work, so I came down. When I came down here, we went back to school at the University of New Mexico here, and finished that, and had a lot of, took a lot of psychology and sociology and that sort of thing, and really enjoyed it. And when I graduated, I got involved with substitute teaching and that sort of thing. I got involved with working with the juvenile parole office here in town, and even then I got this this multiple sclerosis deal. It kind of cut down my mobility, but I had a lot of fun teaching in school in a wheelchair. It's amazing how and I got involved in all things. I got involved in teaching in the special education section and dealing with mentally handicapped children. And I found out that when a person is in a wheelchair, you're kind of, I don't know if it's on a high level with the children, but you seem to have a better response. And I really enjoyed that. And even today, I'll run into these children here and there. They're growing up now, but here and there, and last year in the Special Olympics, and they still remember and wave to me and holler at me and all the rest of it. So it was a really, really enjoyable experience to have. We just had the one child. She's married. She went to Brigham Young University and graduated in 1969 and got married in 1969, and I retired in 1969, so we tied it all up in a nice little bundle. Now she lives up in Orem, Utah. Her husband is a teacher in a middle school there, and they have kind of astounding to us. They have five children, so we have five grandchildren, which is, I'm an only child, and my wife is an only child, and our total offspring was just our one girl, so we were kind of only child oriented. But to have now five grandchildren appear on the scene is quite it takes a little bit of getting used to. We've got our box away for Christmas there, and hope they've got it by this time. They should have by this time. We sent it by this kind of United parcel thing they have here. The postal system seems to, I don't know if it's as bad in Canada as it is here, but it's, so we say untrustworthy to be charitable about the whole thing. There just doesn't seem to be the reliability that it used to have in it. Kind of wondering on the state, but I'm not too articulate. I'm just kind of getting used to this taping business. And as I say, my handwriting and typing has kind of gone to pieces. Well, this MS, there's a lot of queer little side effects here. For example, holding onto a pen or a pencil, it'll suddenly drop, or you'll flip it up in the air. Or if you're typing, you'll make a tremendous amount of mistakes. You think that your fingers are going on a certain key and they go off kind of on their own. Well, there's a kind of old use, but I went off the side of that tape, but I wasn't saying anything to predict her anyway, so it doesn't matter that much, and I was just saying what my writing and typing is so bad that I've adopted this way of communication. I'm not doing much better at this than I was at writing or typing, so I'll try to get this a little bit more coherent on this side. Oh, I'm going to speak just now on this genealogy business. I didn't pay any attention when I was growing up to stories or history or attention to family stories of pastors. And then suddenly, in 1949-50, my mother died on Christmas Day in 1949, and then my father died just a week later on New Year's Day. And I hadn't been home for quite a while, and I was left just picking up everything and putting it together. And then a few years later, I started to get involved in genealogy and realized just how little I knew about family life, especially family life in the past. And so now I'm just trying to reconstruct stuff to make up some kind of a family history to leave behind for my daughter and my grandchildren, because one of these days they're getting interested in this material, and I'm just trying to gather some up what I can, and I'm relying on scanty memories or anything. What does they say about the three symptoms of old age? I think the three symptoms of old age, one is loss of memory, and I forget the other two, but anyway, getting back, my father and mother, he was from a little farm in Pictou County, Nova Scotia, and the tradition down there was these old Highlanders came over, and the second generation or so after they came over there, they decided that the eldest son in the family would have an education regardless of circumstances or effort or hardship or anything like that. This was it. And my dad was, we had a younger brother, and he and a younger brother, and he went off to school in Pictou County, got his education there, and then went on to Dalhousie University in Halifax, and got his medical degree there in 1905, I think it was. And then went as a ship's doctor on a cable ship over to England, where he did postgraduate work in St. George's Hospital in London. Then he did some more work with the Rotunda in Dublin, Ireland. Then came back again to Canada and set out for, I guess, that Athabasca in 1910, around in there. It was quite a booming place from the those old papers, copies of those old papers. And anyway, he got out there. Then my mother came up from Halifax, and he came east from Athabasca. They met in Winnipeg and were married by Reverend Gordon, who's better known as Ralph Connor later on. And then they went from Winnipeg, married there in 1911. They went back up to Athabasca and stayed there until the hospital burned in 1915, I think it was, and then returned east. And I was born in Nova Scotia then in 1917. So, and then they say he worked for the Oxford Paper Company down in the backlands of Cape Breton. And that closed down during Depression days, and we moved to Shediac, New Brunswick, where my parents died, as I said, in 1949-50. And Ralph Connor was doing a tour in Nova Scotia in 1917, and I was christened by him in Sydney, Nova Scotia. So it was kind of a little tie-in with their marriage and everything many years later. But they were very devoted couple to each other. My dad was about 6'4", and my mother was about 5 foot nothing, I would say. And any time they would have a picture taken, she would always manage to be on a stairway or a set of steps or something like that, so she'd be up a little closer in height. I have an old picture here of a RCMP detachment. I would say it was taken about 1913 or so. There's about 10 RCMP in the picture. And my dad is in it too. They loaned him a uniform so he could be part of their little detachment. There's about 10 people in it. So I sent a copy of this picture down to the RCMP Museum in Regina to see if I get identified. And they were horrified by the fact that somebody not part of the force would be all dressed up in a uniform and have his picture taken with a detachment. And they said they couldn't. I found it in a... I had this copy of the snap here, and one day I was reading a magazine in a barbershop, one of these adventure magazines sort of thing, and this little story about the RCMP, about the Mounted Police out in the West, and they had this picture with the story, and I had a copy of it at home. So I sent the magazine and my picture to the RCMP for identification. They were more or less horrified by the fact that this non-member was in uniform, and they just wrote back and said they couldn't identify it at all, and don't call them, more or less they'd call me. So that's the last I've heard of trying to trace that picture as an example of stonewalling genealogy. But I'll keep working away, and I get a little bit here and a little bit there, and then I get a beautiful response like I got from you, and it makes it appreciate it all the more after all kind of running into dead ends here and there and everywhere. But I think I'm going to get a all kind of a cohesive picture put together to pass on to my grandchildren. They may not want it for another 50 years or so, but anyway, I'll have it written up and I've passed on, and it becomes their problem, not mine. Our church here, when we first came here, they said the whole town was disseminated by the moving out of the big air base, and they just finished building their church, and it's a lovely church. But then it was practically empty when we first came here. They had the pews were kind of roped off at the back and that sort of thing. Now it's just about, now we have we developed into a stake here. We have two wards that go to our chapel up here, and it's kind of hard getting used to. We were going in the morning, and now we go in, our ward was going in the morning. Now we've switched over. We go in the afternoon and do all our services in the afternoon, and we're still saying, go there in the afternoon. We're still saying, good morning, and that sort of thing. So we're not used to this afternoon business. We'll get used to it, I imagine. Next year when they'll change back again, and the other ward will take over the afternoon. We'll be back to morning services. And but we have now, I'd say each ward has vicinity of 500 members each, at least. And of course, it's very active. There are no idle people that I've found in this church since I became a member in 1965, I think it was, down in London, Ontario. And the same thing happened. We had a wee little chapel, put on a building program, and we finished a whole complex there within a very few years, and developed into a two ward in the chapel, and then another developed into a stake, and built a big stake building there in London as well. So that was developed from a very small chapel in 1964 into the complex it is today, and what I hear from down there is still growing, and we are still growing here. We have a very, very nice set of building, or a building to work from, and of course some very, very nice people that are working in the wards here, and are very, very helpful friendly to everybody, and as I say, everybody is, of course, very, very busy. Right now, around now, Christmas time, they're getting ready for their primary parties and that sort of thing, so it's kind of a beehive activity. And they even have a special ramp they built for wheelchair accessibility, and I certainly appreciate that. It makes it so much easier when you have a ramp to go up, but you don't realize all the impediment to getting around until you get in a wheelchair, and little things you never thought of before, like all different ramps and different all sloping of ramps. Some ramps they build, it, I don't think a well-developed billy goat could get up, but now they're getting onto the idea of building more sensible ramps. And I've got one built here in the house here, in the front door, so they get around very well, that one. Just got our house all more or less fixed up for winter here. Sometimes it gets quite cold here, but not very long. It's mostly nice, bright, dry, sunny weather. But we got this little house insulated, and in the front I got a bit of an inside storm window put on it, and we're heated by gas, and it's a very snug little place. It's just a little, all the houses, practically all houses there are one-story ranch type sort of thing. We have this little house that's three bedrooms. I use one that's kind of a den, office, study, whatever you want to call it, and store a lot of books and have a desk here. Do any writing and pay the bills and all that sort of thing from this place. And then we have a spare bedroom for visitors, and we have our own bedroom. And it is very, and we have a nice little fenced yard, quite a variety of trees, and we're right on the outskirts of the town. We're on the east side, and looking eastward, we're looking across a very well-maintained farm there. It's quite a thing to watch the different crops that they grow here. They have a wide variety. They grow quite a bit of cotton down here, and alfalfa is a big crop here. It's odd for me. I'm used to one crop a year sort of thing, but down here they can take off five crops of alfalfa in a year, which is, as long as they have the water. Water is a big question down here. There's underground artesian wells, but it's kept under very strict control. The water rights are the big thing around here. If you have water rights, you can grow things like mad in the farming ranching community. And of course, there's the great spaces, now wide open spaces down here. The state has a lot of, I think the whole population of the state's about 2 million. That includes all the cities of Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Roswell, Carlsbad, Artesia, and all the rest of it, and a very wide area. So when you travel, well, it's the same in Canada. When you travel in the west there's always lots of wide open spaces, but this seems to make people very friendly. The people here are much, much more friendly than they are in the eastern part of this country. The same, I think, applies to Canada, with the exception, of course, of Nova Scotia. But the further west you get, the more open and more friendly the people are. I think I'm coming to this end of this tape, but I want to say again how much I appreciated the effort you've made to send me all that material. And I found it very, very interesting, and certainly is something I didn't know of at all. So, and anything that you could turn up at all, I certainly will appreciate it. Gathering stuff here, I'm getting a pile of stuff. I gotta sort it out and put it in order. It takes me so long to do little things anymore. I kinda get impatient at times. I know I should, but I do like it. I guess the word cranky is as good as any. I say, I think I'm coming to the end of this tape now, so I can't. I got a newer tape recorder here. I'm not quite used to it yet. I wish they'd have a little bell on it, say when you're coming up to the end of the tape. Because on that first side, I talked myself over the side, and this side, I don't know where the end is. So I'd better say farewell for now, and wish you all Well, very, very happy holiday season. And we're lucky we're not here just the two of us, so we're kind of sit back and watch all the other people hustle and bustle around. We've got our package way to our grandchildren, so we're going to sit back.